And this young man, Kevin, I believe is his name, sat very quietly and said, "It means everything to me. My dad and my mother were very famous people. And my dad, Mrs. Bill Moyers, was a minister, an ordained minister. And he's done all of these, including this one, coming up on addictions and smoking, and where can you go to get help? Because it becomes a family matter, and I caused this pain in my family." And, of course, then comes back, "No, you only brought it to our attention because we're all in denial." And then back to the subject. But what I meant was, what does your belief in God have to do? Obviously, you need a little more than that on a physical level, but does that impact? And he said, "Yes, it does. But I have to be honest." "Well, you do believe in God." "Oh, yes." And he said, "That's just half of my statement. I have always, and I do, without hesitation, believe in God. But I don't trust him." And it stunned Dorma. She sat back and she said, "That's where I am, sir. I don't really trust you. I know you're there. I have no choice but to believe you. And I don't blame you when things go wrong, and I just plead to be able to do the right things. But I can't let go. I can't let the doubt go. I can't let the attention go. And therefore, I guess I don't trust you. Please listen to me. Everybody in this room, listen closely to me. That is not lack of trust. That's intelligence. There is a joke. I don't think it's funny, but I'm going to tell it, about the Jewish father who he's into business. And, of course, being a joke, it's about the commercialism and the lying of, quote, the entire world of Jews. This is how ridiculous everything is. The Polack jokes, the Italian jokes, the Jew jokes, the Texan jokes. A.B. puts his little three-year-old son up on the table. And he says, "Jump, baby, I'll catch you." "Are you sure you catch me, Daddy?" "Oh, A.B., just jump and I will catch you. This is a fun game, now just jump, I'll catch you." And finally, the little toddler, "I trust you, Daddy." And he jumps, and Daddy lets him fall, splat, on the floor. Let that be a lesson to you. Don't you ever trust anybody. Well, I haven't let you fall yet. I'm not going to let you fall. You may feel you have fallen, but in the looking up from down here, look at what you see. Look at what you see. I'm not going to let you fall. I have to have the team. I have to allow things to unfold to the point that I can consider I have this slot filled. And you can see the hope in this man's eyes as you talk about some things. Well, even if you had all of this money and the contract and so forth, only he will not be nosy. What are you going to do? Well, we're going to start a global community somewhere else off the shores of this nation where it can function as a global community and not a political tool. We are going to have a lot of confrontations undoubtedly with U.S. government, if nothing else, and this could be done with a trial and jurors. Our hope is to purchase up lands. If you already have a sovereign nation reservation, fine. But as with the Tohono area over here, you have a situation where they managed to give it all to the military people that drove out and killed the Indians, General Beale. you know, General Beale rode over here, and all the honorable fathers of Bakersfield, who stole the land, took it from Spanish land grants, whatever, and assigned it to themselves, or had, like Woodrow Wilson and that bunch, sign it over. So that really whatever were reservations have dwindled and dwindled and dwindled until the ones on the Tejon Ranch, it's really quite funny. There's a handful of Chumash Indians. Some of you will call these Chumash. And they have a little isolated spot up there of acreage, but there's no way to get to it. Well, you can't close the Indians off their own little acre of land, so only an Indian can get in there. No white eyes. How are you going to get that turned into a reservation? Which is the most logical first piece of land around to acquire, has an Indian tribe on it. But they won't let them live on it. You see, they're always working their schemes with 47 attorneys to cover everything. So what you're going to have to do is outright purchase these pieces of property, deed them to the Indians, and let the Indians petition the federal government to allow them to hold the land and recognize them. That's going to take legal counsel. Now, we have a perfectly wonderful legal attorney who said, and he is a major Indian. And he says, for $8 million a year, for 8 years, I will be able to get this done. No land acquired, just get this legal mess. So, you know, you're going to have 8 times 8 million years. I mean, well, million years is it. Freudian slip. You know you're going to have at least $64 million into it, and nothing's going to happen for 8 years. He's got to insure his income. And this is a brother.
And what would happen if he didn't come up with what he promised? Who would sue him?
Oh, well, that doesn't count. You're right. Who in the world could stand around and be able to sue him? And he's not a Sioux Indian either. So don't read anything into this. He is something else. And he is from a warring tribe. He's from what is my... Oh, goodness, right off. You're going to go to war with the federal government, you idiot. You've just told us that you're in bed with the federal government. And that's why you know you can get this done. And your lawyer. Well, I don't tell people I'm a lawyer very much. Well, he's a lawyer. That's not what you need. You can get it to the point where you've gotten this case, and then you can get someone with some genuine interest in doing something right to help take it the rest of the way. So we're not going to start just putting Band-Aids on things. We've done that too when we've had to. But you notice it's continued to let you bleed to death. You've had an education beyond anything you could have ever imagined or purchased. People are absolutely in awe. Everybody in Bakersfield knows about this case. And when the judge made a ruling yesterday morning, before the afternoon hearing, it was all over the courthouse. Even the people in the city hall know about this case and that house. And the people are pulling for you. So the ideal thing, and Norma's saying, don't let them settle. We're so close to trial. Let's see what this man can do. Let's do what we wanted to do from the very beginning in Mojave Court. Let's get a jury. Well, everybody settles. There are no attorneys hardly left who can try a case in front of a jury. They don't know how. The entire thrust is legal law bullshit to get a settlement, of which they get a big part. Let's see what this man can do. Because he will serve you in all of these other things. And your law center could grow. He doesn't even have to be a part of the law center. He can train other lawyers to be trial attorneys. But you see, you've got to get through the maze of technical garbage to even be able to get to a trial. And there are not 10 people in the United States of America that can afford to do this. And they know it. Everybody bows out the first time they say the foreclosure took place. And obviously, if a foreclosure is taking place, the people can't even afford the house payment. How can they go and fight this? And they're all piled up with records, I guess. I don't know how you ever get them released, of things happening exactly like happened to Eckers. Larry Mitchell himself had a whole scheme of things. His only payment was to not have a sale, for goodness sakes. If he went and cried a sale, he got $21 for doing that. But if he could capture $30,000, he could at least make $2,500 on the non-sale. And they won't let you get to court or to public with this. And if you say this, Mr. Mitchell took a $2,500 payoff, they're going to sue you for malicious slander. Well, nothing goes into contact that I'm telling you I can't prove. And you either have a nation where you have a free press or you don't. And obviously you don't. So there are a few little interesting things going on. Mr. Richard Mellon Scaife, of great fame lately, will be discussing this with Rick. He loves little offbeat newspapers. Now, he's footed the bill for a lot of things of which you don't and I don't approve. Political trashing. He is a man who put up the money, of course, you're all aware, to the foundation, which is a Christian foundation, which also makes me want to hang my head in total shame to even mention the word Christ with these kinds of businesses. But they are the ones footing the bill to keep the Paula Jones crap going. The man is a multibillionaire. Mellon, does that make sense to you? This is out of the Mellon family of bankers. And they're about as Christian as most Christians. They would not know what to do except pass out if Christ met them. And that's why they don't know what to do when we meet them. And, of course, the contract is still being used. They can't even dump the contract because it's still being used. And the insiders all know about the fold-up of these banks because of George Bush. Al Martin even named the ones, the banks in Greece. Rick says, well, I guess you know about Papandreou's. Oh, well, yeah. But you see, Mr. Bush was using some of those Greek banks and named them. Mr. Latsis, working with George Bush. George Bush and Colonel Powell, the minute this broke with us, and Papandreou's was working on that contract for us. And they killed him. They first went over and met with Mr. Latsis, who is head of the Greek Costa Nostra. And within one day, Papandreou was dead. You know his kidneys failed. Cardiac arrest. and they're getting ready to be able to cardiac arrest anybody, pinpoint or blanket. And now what's happening in your news? Keep your eye on it. They're bringing up the old government spreading of germs over San Francisco, and they did this for several years. Oh, well, they weren't dangerous germs. You know, these would just be bad flu bugs and things. And your Navy was spraying it into the air off San Francisco when you had an onshore breeze so they could test the spread of biologicals. You all have to face it. I'm not here to tell you something that isn't known. And I know that you cannot go out there with your pop gun and hold the Navy at bay. So you have to use some reasonable intelligence. You aren't even going to be able to go to war. They make sure that anything that could be of help to the people or to the president even never makes it to his desk. But this president is as treacherous as any you have ever had. He bases his entire existence on a lie. But if you pull this president down, when it all comes out, he is very apt to pull down George Bush also because of the MENA Arkansas drug CIA deals. That is not going to happen, people. They're not going to allow this. Another thing that came out, and Rick can talk about this if he likes to, we try to keep these kinds of things a little bit private, but I consider that this tape is for our family, our team. They need to know these things. They need to know why things appear to slide. And frankly, it's exciting to know that there is something going on. Some would like a lot less going on. Others would like to be more involved. But until we can get past this, we can't even get involved. Because they will use it against you. They will use it against you. Mr. Martin was full of information, only surpassed by those that have come after him. For goodness sakes, you can't tell if it's a sting operation or what, so you never let your guard down. We have it worked out where I'm sure that if we'll bury that, I can get you kids or you guys all $5 or $6 million. Right after somebody who owns with equally big name, I'm not going to mention, and owns a foundation, and I'm not going to get this gentleman in trouble, would put up $250,000 or something to pay off somebody like Al Martin to go and investigate all this and get information so powerful that will make them nervous and they'll finish paying this off. And they'll probably go as high as $5 million. And so Rick says, well, we turned down $250 million. Oh, naive Rick. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? Well, yeah, they offered us $250 million and you're talking five, and it just doesn't sound reasonable to me. Well, you're not even annoyance. You're just not getting anywhere, Rick. And Rick says, well, it sounds to me as if we're getting somewhere. Oh, comes a tone over the phone. What am I going to do with these idiots? I've been given a job to get rid of them, buy them off, and he finally comes back and he says, well, you would have to retire that and that. I mean, go away. Get this one. You take your money, all this big honking $5 million, and you move to an island somewhere. Get yourself a fishing boat. EJ is old now. Doesn't he want to just relax? You know, he's not, get this, he doesn't even pronounce E.J.'s name properly, keeps calling him Ecker. Oh, well, George has known about the Eckers for years, you know. Well, he knows all about that. He knows them and all this. And Eckers known around the Beltway. The Beltway. That's Washington, D.C. That's kind of an old fool who just likes to help people, but he's got to understand if he wants to live to retire. We started retirement with these two about 11 years ago, and you see how retirement's gone. Now you have this opportunity. On $5 million, Rick is supposed to retire. Charles, because he's involved in his signatures on some of this stuff, he's got to retire. Eckers have got to retire and move to the island somewhere unknown. On $5 million, well, I kind of doubt that will spread around too well. It goes rather rapidly these days. And maybe Rick sees that. Well, I might as well just hang around here if I can't afford to live there. Rick, don't you understand? Oh, I, you just don't seem to understand. You're so naive. You're never going to get anywhere with this. They're not going to let you get anywhere with this. Oh. But they're all over the world. And then there's that next. Rick, don't you understand what I'm saying to you? This is hush money. He finally had to spell it out. This, Rick, is hush money. Shut up, or you're dead. Well, they got to get me off the 127th floor some way.
Very good.
Makes for a very large bubble, doesn't it? I'm telling you this because I want you to understand the confirmation you're getting. I worked with Baruch. I worked with Eisenhower. I have worked with Clinton. I have worked with George Bush. They all know me. And even Mike Blinston in his silliness. These guys are silly. But the one on the other end knows me. This high mucky. And oh my goodness. Half of the Treasury Department and half of this and half of that are working to build, get this one, a new gold-based currency. Now, wasn't that interesting that that was coming out back with Gunther Rustbacher? Going to have a gold-based currency, and there will be this uprising of the good half of the CIA and the good. Which one? And if you have one rotten tyrant replaced by another more rotten tyrant, what have you got? Real trouble. Trouble will double up on you. Two wrongs will never make a right, but two rights or one right will negate the wrong. Don't forget it. In a way, I'm out here today still giving you choices. One after another, it's going to fall away. I don't know what will happen with David Williams. But I'll tell you, if somebody, because of David's actions, gets killed, and they are very apt to, I can promise that Robert Neck is a professional dealer. He has managed to maintain at least a good front. They will take David out in his innocence along with his foolishness. He has really gotten in deep. And this guy was just calling to let Rick know if you can get in touch with him, you better tell him they're gonna pull him down. They blame him. This is a slick little cartel of workers. And the dad is as guilty as they come. It's going to involve theft, fraud, child molestation, Miss Puka. It is going to involve the entire criminal underworld. And this kid is one slick manipulator. But you can really feel sorry for the son that was here. He was molested. He was used as a model. He does not know any different. And he's moved back into that community. And they have perpetrated fraud. But you never know. Did they deliver really good art that they had stolen? That's no. And how are you going to report stolen art as being stolen from you again? Dad's already up 24 counts out of 27 or 29 now. Well, he'll have 30 counts against him. More. And I would repeat, part of these pictures are Picasso's. Mr. Picasso was an insane nut. Who would want this stuff? It's a degradation to your wall to hang it up. This is warped mind material. And the biggie one that they're not really quite sure about is called The Lovers. Now, I want to tell you, if you can find a print of that, just look at it and you will fall out of your chair that it's even under discussion. But it's serious. We can laugh about it, and I intend to do absolutely zero about it. I asked Dave, under no circumstances, bring the young man back out here. It was dangerous, and he came right out here and started asking me about it. And I hope all of you remember, I refuse to answer. I can't expect you people to be discerning and know what you're doing all the time, but I'm going to ask you to be more careful. Because in your willingness to help, you're a good Pleiadian, just push me over and I will make sure I take your beating. No. What we're trying to accomplish is big enough and important enough that you don't do that. I don't need any more crucified saviors. That was tried, it did not fly. They are now using the crucified man as their shield to create more misery. How dare you suggest that Christ would ever do anything like this? I don't care what you believe in. That's your business. How you believe in your Christian truth. I don't care what denomination you wish to choose. I don't care which teacher of goodness you wish to listen to. You need the support. You need the genuine input of someone not trying to tell you this is the way it is, but you have to know how it is. That's what intelligence, knowing, and learning is about. Because now you're talking about your soul. Well, I didn't come out here to get in trouble with a Miss Puka. Well, that's what we're about. We're not going to get in trouble with them either. I had to have a nucleus from which we can begin to build a different societal structure. We're not going to fight them. We have to work within this reality of manifestation. If we wanted to make a church out of this, like Mr. Cleaver, Professor Cleaver, if all of you remember, we could have a worldwide congregation. We would be rich. You would be so poor. It would break your hearts. You would have sold to the devil the only thing that makes us worthy of what we are. and we won't do it. And pushing Dorma is not going to make any difference. Pushing her, pulling her, it will not make any difference. We will serve where our mission is served. And these law cases will play themselves out some way. And most of you have grown large enough now to know that it's all your lessons anyway. It's your testing. Just like Judge Wallace would not rule with these people, but he sized up and put this lawyer through the testing that everybody missed but that man and his opponent. And when he decided this man was going to adequately do the best he could for these clients, he denied the other side their petition. And he said, there really wouldn't be a case now, would there? You cannot try a case on its merits if you don't allow the evidence. And he did not put his stamp of approval on this lawyer until he had tested him himself. Does that mean you will win? No. But it means that the tide has turned. But you're going to have to watch your P's and Q's. That was very, very clear. Or they will hound you and they will continue this. And they're trying every little trick they have to do so. Cooperation is all you can offer. And you provide them with the people and you go to the depositions and you smile and you just offer them to meet their demands. But you're going to go to trial on the trial date. Will you make it? It'll be a first in history if you do. Judge Wallace set it the shortest period of time allowed by the court to set it. Unheard of. Unheard of. I'm sure he thought at the time, oh my goodness gracious alive, these people are in here in pro per. I'm going to set it for here. They're going to kill them. And they've tried. So there were two people extremely relieved. One was Judge Wallace and one was Brad Ellie. In addition to the Eckers who were, you know, ready to go out and get champagne every 5 minutes. We're getting somewhere. And when we get closer and it's possible, I certainly hope we make it to trial, and I hope all of you come to enjoy. Because no matter whether it goes well or badly, you cannot decide what badly means. Because if you had prevailed at those times where you thought you were taking a real beating, you would not even be here today. It would have gone away, and they would have won. So let's not sell God short, and this time let's not sell a judge short. The man would like to do his job. And they're having a little fun around that courthouse now because they've got something besides the drivel. And it's such a tiny little thing. But we have worked this miracle. This was sort of just leaked, so I'll just kind of leak it. Judge Wallace is a Roman Catholic. And Dorma said, that doesn't help them, does it? We've hit them too. We're equal opportunity. Litigious. We suddenly got out of the Jewish thing and into the Roman Catholic. Because also Judge Freeman doing this settlement conference is a Roman Catholic. And guess what? Judge Chapin is a new convert. Well, Dorma's pretty practical. Convert to what? So we have to assume that it's Roman Catholic also. Who cares? cares? Where's the law? Where's the justice? Where is the intent of justice under the law? Well, it's formed to this extent, and Don Rhodes explained this very well. If you have a disagreement over a fact of law, that's where you get the lawyers in and everybody fights over this little fact of law. But if you are fighting over the fact of a case, that's where the jury is structured to handle it. So if you ever want to accomplish anything, regardless of the people that are pulled in to this jury pool, you're going to play to them. They're going to be the ones that can goof off by having a big enough corporate structure that you, well, I'd rather go play in the court and sit in a chair than be at my desk and sit. And you're going to have the ones that really preferred, like Mr. Ecker, not to go and be on a jury. And they're going to make you come anyway. Or you're going to have to say you're in court yourself on the other end of this, so I can't go. But they won't let him off. And then you have the people on welfare and so forth who are paid to do nothing, and they can get in there, and this fills up their time and gives them $5 a day or something ridiculous, while the ones going to court are charged $130 a day plus all the charges. So you can see that this can go on and be very, very expensive. And then the show's over and everybody goes home. Well, let's at least provide them with a show. And you have to assume that this group over there is waiting to lynch you as well. But they're just people. And when they realize the truth is coming to them from just people, and that house could be theirs. Those dead birds that got fed to the hawks because you had to evict or get out of there in 3 days are your birds. While the Mr. Horns of the world send out SWAT team to make sure you don't give them any trouble. You've all lived through it. You've all witnessed. You've all experienced. Let's take it the rest of the way, please. Let's just take it the rest of the way. Do I know when it will end? No. Because these are the free will choices of mankind. They could have settled it yesterday afternoon, and Dorma was terrified they would. And then you walk out, and it's over, and then you have to fight, and you never get the payoff anyway, because that's appealed, and that's... Don't expect it to end. And if you end it then, you will really have ended it. Don't go back to sleep. In other words, there was no reason not to go without a lawyer the very first hearing in Mojave, years and years ago. Merry Christmas it was. Merry Christmas it was. There was no sale. There had been communication and correspondence about the fact that there was no sale. And now you find all these documents from at least 4 different major corporation financial institutions with all this writing in the margin. And they have had to do with a Mr. Horn to keep this out of a jury trial for 9 years. And he did it, and he is just nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. He knows they will not overturn this. They can't overturn it. These are judges that have made rules. And this man's small enough to even hope that Eckers get enough of a settlement that he can get part of it for his clients. On the last hearing, he's never turned in his bill. He stated an amount, but he keeps it open, you see. So that's where you are with that one. There are so many that I know that we can't take the entire day to discuss it. The mess in Nevada is even a bigger mess in Nevada. Mr. Horton and Mr. Abbott and Mr. Green just continue, and I find it funny. But you haven't had the money to spend anyway, and this judge sits there in this conference, and E.J. says, well, just who's responsible for this loss in the value of this gold? And my goodness gracious alive, he said, well, Mr. Green and Mr. Horton. So guess what? They better get ready, hadn't they? I don't want you so tired of it that you turn and go away. That is not being Christian. That is being stupid. And God is not stupid. But you have to wait until the time is appropriate. Because the judges just don't know what to do, and they transfer it one to another, and finally they give them another extension on top of their extension to keep the gold in Gamble's court. Well, it's being argued over down in Texas, and those judges have ordered it sent back to Texas. The settlement judge says send it back to Texas. Mr. Givens says send it back to Texas. And this young man, Kevin, I believe is his name, sat very quietly and said, it means everything to me. My dad and my mother were very famous people. And my dad, Mrs. Bill Moyers, was a minister, an ordained minister. And he's done all of these, including this one, coming up on addictions and smoking, and where can you go to get help? Because it becomes a family matter, and I caused this pain in my family. And, of course, then comes back, no, you only brought it to our attention because we're all in denial. And then back to the subject. But what I meant was, what does your belief in God have to do? Obviously, you need a little more than that on a physical level, but does that impact? And he said, yes, it does. But I have to be honest. Well, you do believe in God. Oh, yes. And he said, that's just half of my statement. I have always, and I do, without hesitation, believe in God. But I don't trust him. And it stunned Dorma. She sat back and she said, that's where I am, sir. I don't really trust you. I know you're there. I have no choice but to believe you. And I don't blame you when things go wrong, and I just plead to be able to do the right things. But I can't let go. I can't let the doubt go. I can't let the attention go. And therefore, I guess I don't trust you. Please listen to me. Everybody in this room, listen closely to me. That is not lack of trust. That's intelligence. There is a joke. I don't think it's funny, but I'm going to tell it, about the Jewish father who he's into business, and of course, being a joke, it's about the commercialism and the lying of, quote, the entire world of Jews. This is how ridiculous everything is. The Polack jokes, the Italian jokes, the Jew jokes, the Texan jokes. A.B. puts his little three-year-old son up on the table. And he says, jump, A.B., I'll catch you. Are you sure you'll catch me, Daddy? Oh, A.B., just jump, and I will catch you. This is a fun game. Now just jump, I'll catch you. And finally, the little toddler, I trust you, Daddy. And he jumps, and Daddy lets him fall, splat, on the floor. Let that be a lesson to you. Don't you ever trust anybody. Well, I haven't let you fall yet. I'm not going to let you fall. You may feel you have fallen, but in the looking up from down here, look at what you see. Look at what you see. I'm not going to let you fall. I have to have the team. I have to allow things to unfold to the point that I can consider I have this slot filled. And you can see the hope in this man's eyes as you talk about some things. Well, even if you had all of this money and the contract and so forth, only he will not be nosy. What are you going to do? Well, we're going to start a global community somewhere else off the shores of this nation where it can function as a global community and not a political tool. We are going to have a lot of confrontations undoubtedly with U.S. government, if nothing else, and this could be done with a trial and jurors. Our hope is to purchase up lands. If you already have a sovereign nation reservation, fine. But as with the Tejon area over here, you have a situation where they managed to give it all to the military people that drove out and killed the Indians. General Beale. You know, General Beale rode over here, and all the honorable fathers of Bakersfield, who stole the land, took it from Spanish land grants, whatever, and assigned it to themselves. Or had, like Woodrow Wilson and that bunch, sign it over. So that really whatever were reservations have dwindled and dwindled and dwindled until the ones on the Tejon Ranch, it's really quite funny. There's a handful of Chuma Indians. Some of you will call these Chumash. And they have a little isolated spot up there of acreage, but there's no way to get to it. Well, you can't close the Indians off their own little acre of land, so only an Indian can get in there. No white eyes. How are you going to get that turned into a reservation? Which is the most logical first piece of land around to acquire, has an Indian tribe on it. But they won't let them live on it. You see, they're always working their schemes with 47 attorneys to cover everything. So what you're going to have to do is outright purchase these pieces of property, deed them to the Indians, and let the Indians petition the federal government to allow them to hold the land and recognize them. That's going to take legal counsel. Now, we have a perfectly wonderful legal attorney who said, and he is a major Indian. And he says, for $8 million a year, for 8 years, I will be able to get this done. No land acquired, just get this legal mess. So you know you're going to have 8 times 8 million years. I mean, well, million years is it. Freudian slip. You know you're going to have at least $64 million into it, and nothing's going to happen for 8 years. He's got to ensure his income. And this is a brother.
What would happen if he didn't come up with what he promised?
Who would sue him? Oh, well, that doesn't count. You're right. Who in the world could stand around and be able to sue him? And he's not a Sioux Indian either. So don't read anything into this. He is something else. And he is from a warring tribe. He's from, what is my, oh goodness, right off. You're going to go to war with the federal government, you idiot. You've just told us that you're in bed with the federal government, and that's why you know you can get this done. And your lawyer. Well, I don't tell people I'm a lawyer very much. Well, he's a lawyer. That's not what you need. You can get it to the point where you've gotten this case, and then you can get someone with some genuine interest in doing something right. to help take it the rest of the way. So we're not going to start just putting Band-Aids on things. We've done that too when we've had to. But you notice it's continued to let you bleed to death. You've had an education beyond anything you could have ever imagined or purchased. People are absolutely in awe. Everybody in Bakersfield knows about this case. And when the judge made a ruling yesterday morning, before the afternoon hearing, it was all over the courthouse. Even the people in the city hall know about this case and that house. And the people are pulling for you. So the ideal thing, and Norma's saying, don't let them settle. We're so close to trial. Let's see what this man can do. Let's do what we wanted to do from the very beginning in Mojave Court. Let's get a jury. Well, everybody settles. There are no attorneys hardly left who can try a case in front of a jury. They don't know how. The entire thrust is legal law bullshit to get a settlement, of which they get a big part. Let's see what this man can do. Because he will serve you in all of these other things. And your law center could grow. He doesn't even have to be a part of the law center. He can train other lawyers to be trial attorneys. But you see, you've got to get through the maze of technical garbage to even be able to get to a trial. And there are not 10 people in the United States of America that can afford to do this. And they know it. Everybody bows out the first time they say the foreclosure took place. And obviously, if a foreclosure is taking place, the people can't even afford the house payment. How can they go and fight this? And they're all piled up with records, I guess. I don't know how you ever get them released, of things happening exactly like happened to Eckers. Larry Mitchell himself had a whole scheme of things. His only payment was to not have a sale, for goodness sakes. If he went and cried a sale, he got $21 for doing that. But if he could capture $30,000, he could at least make $2,500 on the non-sale. And they won't let you get to court or to public with this. And if you say this, Mr. Mitchell took a $2,500 payoff, they're going to sue you for malicious slander. Well, nothing goes into contact that I'm telling you I can't prove. And you either have a nation where you have a free press or you don't. And obviously you don't. So there are a few little interesting things going on. Mr. Richard Mellon Scaife, of great fame lately, we'll be discussing this with Rick. He loves little offbeat newspapers. Now, he's footed the bill for a lot of things of which you don't and I don't approve. Political trashing. He is a man who put up the money, of course, you're all aware, to the foundation, which is a Christian foundation, which also makes me want to hang my head in total shame to even mention the word Christ with these kinds of businesses. But they are the ones footing the bill to keep the Paula Jones crap going. The man is a multi-billionaire. Mellon? Does that make sense to you? This is out of the Mellon family of bankers. And they're about as Christian as most Christians. They would not know what to do except pass out if Christ met them. And that's why they don't know what to do when we meet them. And, of course, the contract is still being used. They can't even dump the contract because it's still being used. And the insiders all know about the fold-up of these banks because of George Bush. Al Martin even named the ones, the banks in Greece. Rick says, well, I guess you know about Papandreou's. Oh, well, yeah. But you see, Mr. Bush was using some of those Greek banks and named them. Mr. Latsis, working with George Bush and Colonel Powell, the minute this broke with us, and Papandreou's was working on that contract for us. And they killed him. They first went over and met with Mr. Latsis, who is head of the Greek Costa Nostra. And within one day, Papandreou was dead. You know his kidneys failed. Cardiac arrest. And they're getting ready to be able to cardiac arrest anybody, pinpoint or blanket. And now what's happening in your news? Keep your eye on it. They're bringing up the old government spreading of germs over San Francisco, and they did this for several years. Oh, well, they weren't dangerous germs. You know, these would just be bad flu bugs and things. And your Navy was spraying it into the air off San Francisco when you had an onshore breeze so they could test the spread of biologicals. You all have to face it. I'm not here to tell you something that isn't known. And I know that you cannot go out there with your pop gun and hold the Navy at bay. So you have to use some reasonable intelligence. You aren't even going to be able to go to war. They make sure that anything that could be of help to the people or to the president even never makes it to his desk. But this president is as treacherous as any you have ever had. He bases his entire existence on a lie. But if you pull this president down, when it all comes out, he is very apt to pull down George Bush also because of the MENA Arkansas drug CIA deals. That is not going to happen, people. They're not going to allow this. Another thing that came out, and Rick can talk about this if he likes to, we try to keep these kinds of things a little bit private, but I consider that this tape is for our family, our team. They need to know these things. They need to know why things appear to slide. And frankly, it's exciting to know that there is something going on. Some would like a lot less going on. Others would like to be more involved. But until we can get past this, we can't even get involved. Because they will use it against you. They will use it against you. Mr. Martin was full of information, only surpassed by those that have come after him. For goodness sakes, you can't tell if it's a sting operation or what, so you never let your guard down. We have it worked out where I'm sure that if we'll bury that, I can get you kids or you guys $5 or $6 million. Right after somebody who owns with equally big name, I'm not going to mention, and owns a foundation, and I'm not going to get this gentleman in trouble, would put up $250,000 or something to pay off somebody like Al Martin to go and investigate all this and get information so powerful that will make them nervous, and they'll finish paying this off. And they'll probably go as high as $5 million. And so Rick says, well, we turned down $250 million. Oh, naive Rick. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? Well, yeah, they offered us $250 million, and you're talking five, and it just doesn't sound reasonable to me. Well, you're not even annoyance. You're just not getting anywhere, Rick. And Rick says, well, it sounds to me as if we're getting somewhere. Oh, comes the tone over the phone. What am I going to do with these idiots? I've been given a job to get rid of them, buy them off, and he finally comes back and he says, well, you would have to retire that, and I mean, go away. Get this one. You take your money, all this big honking $5 million, and you move to an island somewhere. Get yourself a fishing boat. EJ is old now. Doesn't he want to just relax? You know, he doesn't even pronounce EJ's name properly. Keeps calling him Eckert. Oh, well, George has known about the Eckerts for years, you know. Well, he knows all about that. He knows them and all this. And Eckert's known around the Beltway. The Beltway. That's Washington, D.C. That's kind of an old fool who just likes to help people. But he's got to understand if he wants to live to retire. We started retirement with these two about 11 years ago. And you see how retirement's gone. Now you have this opportunity. On $5 million, Rick is supposed to retire Charles, because he's involved in his signatures on some of this stuff. He's got to retire. Eckers have got to retire and move to the island somewhere unknown. On $5 million, well, I kind of doubt that will spread around too well. It goes rather rapidly these days. And maybe Rick sees that. Well, I might as well just hang around here if I can't afford to live there. Rick, don't you understand? Oh, I, you just don't seem to understand. You're so naive. You're never going to get anywhere with this. They're not going to let you get anywhere with this. Oh. But they're all over the world. And then there's that next. Oh. Rick, don't you understand what I'm saying to you? This is hush money. He finally had to spell it out. This, Rick, is hush money. Shut up, or you're dead. Well, they got to get me off the 127th floor some way.
Very good.
Makes for a very large bubble, doesn't it? I'm telling you this because I want you to understand the confirmation you're getting. I worked with Baruch. I worked with Eisenhower. I have worked with Clinton. I have worked with George Bush. They all know me. And even Mike Glinston in his silliness. These guys are silly. But the one on the other end knows me. This high mucky. And oh my goodness, half of the Treasury Department and half of this and half of that are working to build, get this one, a new gold-based currency. Now, wasn't that interesting that was coming out back with Gunther Rustbacher? Going to have a gold-based currency, and there will be this uprising of the good half of the CIA and the good. Which one? And if you have one, rotten tyrant replaced by another more rotten tyrant, what have you got? Real trouble. Trouble will double up on you. Two wrongs will never make a right, but two rights or one right will negate the wrong. Don't forget it. In a way, I'm out here today still giving you choices. One after another, it's going to fall away. I don't know what will happen with David Williams. But I'll tell you, if somebody, because of David's actions, gets killed, and they are very apt to, I can promise that Robert Neck is a professional dealer. He has managed to maintain at least a good front. They will take David out in his innocence along with his foolishness. He has really gotten in deep. And this guy was just calling to let Rick know, if you can get in touch with him, you better tell him they're going to pull him down. They blame him. This is a slick little cartel of workers. And the dad is as guilty as they come. It's going to involve theft, fraud, child molestation, Miss Puka. It is going to involve the entire criminal underworld. And this kid is one slick manipulator. But you can really feel sorry for the son that was here. He was molested. He was used as a model. He does not know any different. And he's moved back into that community. And they have perpetrated fraud. But you never know. Did they deliver really good art that they had stolen? That's no. And how are you going to report stolen art as being stolen from you again? Dad's already up 24 counts out of 27 or 29 now. Well, he'll have 30 counts against him. More. And I would repeat, part of these pictures are Picasso's. Mr. Picasso was an insane nut. Who would want this stuff? It's a degradation to your wall to hang it up. This is warped mind material. And the biggie one that they're not really quite sure about is called The Lovers. Now, I want to tell you, if you can find a print of that, just look at it and you will fall out of your chair that it's even under discussion. But it's serious. We can laugh about it, and I intend to do absolutely zero about it. I asked Dave, under no circumstances, bring the young man back out here. It was dangerous, and he came right out here and started asking me about it. And I hope all of you remember, I refuse to answer. I can't expect you people to be discerning and know what you're doing all the time, but I'm going to ask you to be more careful. Because in your willingness to help, you're a good Pleiadian, just push me over and I will make sure I take your beating. No. What we're trying to accomplish is big enough and important enough that you don't do that. I don't need any more crucified saviors. That was tried, it did not fly. They are now using the crucified man as their shield to create more misery. How dare you suggest that Christ would ever do anything like this? I don't care what you believe in. That's your business. How you believe in your Christian truth. I don't care what denomination you wish to choose. I don't care which teacher of goodness you wish to listen to. You need the support. You need the genuine input of someone not trying to tell you this is the way it is, but you have to know how it is. That's what intelligence, knowing, and learning is about. Because now you're talking about your soul. Well, I didn't come out here to get in trouble with a Miss Puka. Well, that's what we're about. We're not going to get in trouble with them either. I had to have a nucleus from which we can begin to build a different societal structure. We're not going to fight them. We have to work within this reality of manifestation. If we wanted to make a church out of this, like Mr. Cleaver, Professor Cleaver, if all of you remember, we could have a worldwide congregation. We would be rich. You would be so poor. It would break your hearts. You would have sold to the devil the only thing that makes us worthy of what we are. And we won't do it. And pushing dormant is not going to make any difference. Pushing her, pulling her, it will not make any difference. We will serve where our mission is served. And these law cases will play themselves out some way. And most of you have grown large enough now to know that it's all your lessons anyway. It's your testing. Just like Judge Wallace would not rule with these people, but he sized up and put this lawyer through the testing that everybody missed but that man and his opponent. And when he decided this man was going to adequately do the best he could for these clients, he denied the other side their petition. And he said, there really wouldn't be a case now, would there? You cannot try a case on its merits if you don't allow the evidence. And he did not put his stamp of approval on this lawyer until he had tested him himself. Does that mean you will win? No. But it means that the tide has turned. But you're going to have to watch your P's and Q's. That was very, very clear. Or they will hound you and they will continue this. And they're trying every little trick they have to do so. Cooperation is all you can offer. And you provide them with the people and you go to the depositions and you smile and you just offer them to meet their demands. But you're going to go to trial on the trial date. Will you make it? It'll be a first in history if you do. Judge Wallace set it the shortest period of time allowed by the court to set it. Unheard of. Unheard of. I'm sure he thought at the time, oh my goodness gracious alive, these people are in here in pro per. I'm going to set it for here. They're going to kill them. And they've tried. So there were two people extremely relieved. One was Judge Wallace and one was Brad Ellie. In addition to the Eckers who were, you know, ready to go out and get champagne every 5 minutes. We're getting somewhere. And when we get closer and it's possible, I certainly hope we make it to trial, and I hope all of you come to enjoy. Yeah. Because no matter whether it goes well or badly, you cannot decide what badly means. Because if you had prevailed at those times where you thought you were taking a real beating, you would not even be here today. It would have gone away, and they would have won. So let's not sell God short, and this time let's not sell a judge short. The man would like to do his job, and they're having a little fun around that courthouse now because they've got something besides the drivel. And it's such a tiny little thing. But we have worked this miracle. This was sort of just leaked, so I'll just kind of leak it. Judge Wallace is a Roman Catholic. And Dorma said, that doesn't help them, does it? We've hit them too. We're equal opportunity. Litigious. We suddenly got out of the Jewish thing and into the Roman Catholic, because also Judge Freeman doing this settlement conference is a Roman Catholic. And guess what? Judge Chapin is a new convert. Well, Dorma's pretty practical. Convert to what? So we have to assume that it's Roman Catholic also. Who cares? Who cares? Where's the law? Where's the justice? Where is the intent of justice under the law? Well, it's formed to this extent, and Don Rhodes explained this very well. If you have a disagreement over a fact of law, that's where you get the lawyers in and everybody fights over this little fact of law. But if you are fighting over the fact of a case, that's where the jury is structured to handle it. So if you ever want to accomplish anything, regardless of the people that are pulled in to this jury pool, you're going to play to them. They're going to be the ones that can goof off by having a big enough corporate structure that you, well, I'd rather go play in the court and sit in a chair than be at my desk and sit. And you're going to have the ones that really preferred, like Mr. Ecker, not to go and be on a jury. And they're going to make you come anyway. Or you're going to have to say you're in court yourself on the other end of this, so I can't go. But they won't let him off. And then you have the people on welfare and so forth who are paid to do nothing, and they can get in there, and this fills up their time and gives them $5 a day or something ridiculous, while the ones going to court are charged $130 a day plus all the charges. So you can see that this can go on and be very, very expensive. And then the show's over and everybody goes home. Well, let's at least provide them with a show. And you have to assume that this group over there is waiting to lynch you as well. But they're just people. And when they realize the truth is coming to them from just people, and that house could be theirs. Those dead birds that got fed to the hawks because you had to evict or get out of there in 3 days are your birds. While the Mr. Horns of the world send out SWAT team to make sure you don't give them any trouble. You've all lived through it. You've all witnessed. You've all experienced. Let's take it the rest of the way, please. Let's just take it the rest of the way. Do I know when it will end? No. Because these are the free will choices of mankind. They could have settled it yesterday afternoon, and Dorma was terrified they would. And then you walk out, and it's over, and then you have to fight, and you never get the payoff anyway, because that's appealed, and that's... Don't expect it to end. And if you end it then, you will really have ended it. Don't go back to sleep, in other words. There was no reason not to go without a lawyer the very first hearing in Mojave, years and years ago. Merry Christmas it was. Merry Christmas it was. There was no sale. There had been communication and correspondence about the fact that there was no sale. And now you find all these documents from at least four different major corporation financial institutions with all this writing in the margin. And they have had to do with a Mr. Horn to keep this out of a jury trial for 9 years. And he did it, and he is just nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. He knows they will not overturn this. They can't overturn it. These are judges that have made rules. And this man's small enough to even hope that Eckers get enough of a settlement that he can get part of it for his clients. On the last hearing, he's never turned in his bill. He stated an amount, but he keeps it open, you see. So that's where you are with that one. There are so many that I know that we can't take the entire day to discuss it. The mess in Nevada is even a bigger mess in Nevada. Mr. Horton and Mr. Abbott and Mr. Green just continue, and I find it funny. But you haven't had the money to spend anyway, and this judge sits there in this conference, and EJ says, well, just who's responsible for this loss in the value of this gold? And my goodness gracious alive, he said, well, Mr. Green and Mr. Horton. So guess what? They better get ready, hadn't they? I don't want you so tired of it that you turn and go away. That is not being Christian. That is being stupid. And God is not stupid. But you have to wait until the time is appropriate, because the judges just don't know what to do, and they transfer it one to another, and finally they give them another extension on top of their extension to keep the gold in Gamble's court. Well, it's being argued over down in Texas, and those judges have ordered it sent back to Texas. The settlement judge says send it back to Texas. Mr. Gibbons says send it back to Texas.